This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
We begin our number two of Sharp Money. Dave Ross, Holden Kushner. He is in the great state of Colorado. I am here at the D in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. You know, we're going to have Steve Mackinnon join us a little bit later on. And Steve's got some really cool power ratings that he looks at win totals with certain teams. And he tries to find value, what his numbers say versus what a lot of the books have posted for win totals for certain teams. A couple of those reside. I'm not going to give it away now, people. That's why you got to watch and listen later on when Steve joins us. But I will say a couple of those teams come to us from the AFC West. And this has been a division that has been absolutely dominated, pillar to post, by Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. How much so? Ever since that combo took over and they moved Alex Smith on to D.C. in 2016. Look at the division winners. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Is there a theme there? Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid equals division championship. Holden Kushner. They are obviously the odds-on favorite to do it yet again. I know Harbs is in L.A. Sean Payton now kind of getting his guys there, you know, in Denver. And we got an old former Redskin now linebacker out here in Las Vegas leading the Raiders. What do you make of the Chiefs? Is there any peril for the Chiefs to not possibly win this division for the first time since 2015?
I mean, it's just the latest dynasty in the National Football League. Now, the one question I have is at left tackle for them. It needs to be filled. It's as simple as that. But they upgraded the wide receiver core. I think Hollywood Brown is going to be magnificent in this offense. You get a nice deep threat for Mahomes once again. And when he's healthy, he's like one of those borderline number ones.
Yeah.
So you've got him, Rashee Rice. I don't know what's going on with him. Is he going to be in prison? Is he going to be suspended? I don't think you can really count on too much from Rashee Rice at this point. They did bring in Xavier Worthy. The guy offensively, I've got a lot of question marks, is Travis Kelce. He's 34, he's going to be 35. Like, at some point in time, it's going to run out. This guy has been so elite for so long. When is time going to catch up with him? Maybe it isn't this year. But he played through that lower leg injury in the playoffs last year, got through it. He's terrific. Love the secondary, young, deep. Team is better on paper this year than it was last year. And last year, really in the second half of 2 years ago, the defense came on strong. Last year, it took them a few weeks. Then defense came on strong. This team is better on paper than it was last year. No question.
I agree. I think it's bad news for the rest of the league that they've been able to go back to back in last year. Clearly, you know, it's a weird feel. I'm not trying to discount what they did because you can't. I mean, they are the back to back reigning defending champs. So we're not taking anything away. We are saying, I don't know that they were the best team. They happened to win, and that is very impressive. And it shows you that winning mentality that Mahomes and Andy Reid and everybody else has gotten that in that room and Steve Spagnuolo and his defense. But I don't know that that means, to your point, that on paper, this was necessarily the best team a year ago. They are better this year. I mentioned Antonio Pierce out here in the desert. They went to Arrowhead last year, Christmas Day, and won a game on the road without completing a pass after the first quarter. Like, that's where the Chiefs were at Christmas Day last year. But low. They were low. And then all of a sudden, they figured out a way to flip that switch in the second season, and then Mahomes went into Superman mode. I mean, look, they had to run the gauntlet. Yes, they had the home game against Miami in the frozen tundra game. We knew the fish are going to be fish out of water out there in Arrowhead, and they looked miserable from the jump, right? But then to go to Buffalo, and if you remember the end of that game, Steph Diggs drops a ball that Josh Allen threw perfectly in there, sets up a long field goal, wind-aided, no good, they move on. And then they don't score in the second half in Baltimore in the AFC title game, and they win. I mean, like, these are some weird things that are happening, and you're winning these road games like they won last year. I don't know that it's sustainable again for a third year in a row. I will tell you, though, that I am out of the business of doubting Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in the second seasons.
Yeah, Mahomes just too good. And this, when Russell Wilson went to the Broncos a couple of years ago, people were talking about this being the greatest division ever, but it was the Chiefs. it was Chiefs, and it was the Chiefs. And it's going to be the Chiefs again. You got the best player in the league, and he's your quarterback. You got a great shot of winning it all. And Chiefs are going to probably do it again. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
I raised my hand.
I think the difference, though, with this team is maybe there is something with the regular season where they will be a better football team just because of the additions they made. And I think Patrick Mahomes could be more of a passer now, a downfield passer, because they have not had that since Tyreek Hill left.
Good point.
Mr. Dave Ross, you have the floor now.
Like in grade school, if a kid raises their hand, doesn't the teacher stop the lecture and acknowledge, or do you wait till the lecture's over?
I'm just looking into my camera. So if you raised your hand and you're talking about me, I apologize.
I raised my hand to say guilty as charged. I was one of those people, Holden, that said division of death. You know, Russell Wilson, let's ride. Coming to Denver, this is going to be four.
Oh, me too.
Oh, I was all in, man. I was like, this is the best division we've ever seen. Okay, good. All right, so it's not just me. Because I was like, man, this is going to be four teams dragging it out, knocking it. No, you're right. It was just one. Now, can we get at least two? What do you make of Harbs in L.A.? I got to tell you, I'm fascinated by this. Because I remember everybody telling me last year that Kellen Moore is going to open up the offense for Justin Herbert. And, man, is this thing going to look good in L.A.? It didn't look good in L.A. Kellen Moore's gone. Staley's gone. They're all out of there, right? All new regime, Harbs comes in. I actually think this offense is going to look a lot better with a quote-unquote conservative old-school quarterback running things offensively. I think this is going to be the best version of Justin Herbert. Do you agree?
That's really interesting. Well, if anybody knows me out there, you know my thoughts on Staley. I thought he was just horrible.
Oh, he was terrible.
And he was the poster boy for analytics in the NFL.
Yes.
And he kind of set us back 30 years. And I was like, this guy doesn't know. He was a disaster. So Jim Harbaugh is going to be a better head coach. We're going to find out a lot about Herbert, because you can't hide behind the run all season. At some point in time, we're going to get shootouts.
Yep.
He has been one of the more overrated quarterbacks in the National Football League at this point, but he does have a competent head coach now, which is nice to see, but it's another new system. The thing that I think is interesting, we're probably going to see a run-oriented offense.
Yes.
And it's with a couple of guys in the Ravens, Gus Edwards. All right, Gus the Bus. They got the sixth-round kid, Kamani Vidal, as well, but J.K. Dobbins can't stay on the field. Just keep running guys out, hoping you can run. Five new starters on offense. Very, very concerned about their wide receiver group, because it's Joshua Palmer, Quentin Johnston, and they drafted McConkey. So the offensive line could be really good if they're coached up. They've got a great pass rushing duo. You know, Bosa is just about as good as it gets. They brought Khalil Mack in as well.
Yep.
This should be a better team. But do they step right in under Harbaugh and turn into a team that probably not going to challenge the Chiefs, but can be a playoff team? I don't know. You know, it's been a mess. Anthony Lynn, really good coordinator. Staley, probably really good coordinator. Do they have the head coach take a fairly talented team, put them over the top? But I have more concerns about the defense, or about the offense, than I do about the defense, which is interesting. Again, new starters, skill position players, not too sexy. What are your thoughts on the Chargers, in all seriousness? Because I see them 10-7 to be a great year for them.
I am fascinated how quickly Jim Harbaugh got in there and said, the most important unit's the offensive line. And people think, like, this is meat and potatoes guy. And, you know, like, this is the way he thinks. He is so transparent. And the way he wants his football team, Mike Williams, out of here. Keenan Allen, out of here. He's like, let's get all the flash. And, by the way, good players. Like, Keenan, I think, will be very good as an addition in Chicago. But you could tell right away that Harbs is like, I'm going to get my guys. And you nailed it, Holden. They're going to run the football. It's going to take, I think, for Herbert, he's going to love it. It's going to take stuff off of his plate. He's not going to have to do it. I think Kellen Moore asked him to do everything, right? I need you to do everything. It's going to be all you. Austin Eckler out of the back. Eckler, gone. Harbs came in and just said, this thing is going to be, we're going to tear it all the way down offensively. We're going to build it the way I built it in San Francisco. And we all remember that. That was a run-first offense. And they got oh so close to winning the Super Bowl back then with Colin Kaepernick. So that's what I see happening here in L.A., it's going to be run first, and you've got a signal caller like Justin Herbert that doesn't have to make all these great arm talent throws, risky plays, I think he's going to dummy it down for Herbert a lot. It's going to get him hit a lot less. Remember, he had those big flak jackets he was playing with because the offensive line, they got seven-step drops. He's trying to make 50-yard plays down the field. I think it's going to be get the ball out of your hand. Let's run the football effectively. Punting is not a dirty word. We can punt and play defense and field position. It might not be sexy. It might be a little bit boring for today's kids. It will be effective. I would be stunned if this team isn't markedly better. 5-win team a year ago, and that win total is 8.5 this year. It's juiced, -$1.55. I really like this football team to potentially be a double-digit football team that really is right there and probably a playoff team this year.
Yeah, -$55 is a little much on the juice for me to bet that, but if you wanted to bet it over 9.5, maybe get plus money there.
Yeah,
I wouldn't hate it.
And again, if the correlation is this a playoff team, and the answer, if you think the answer is yes, then play the alt total that Holden's alluding to, 9.5 at plus money, because I think you're gonna have to win 10 to more than likely get in to the AFC. A lot of good teams in the AFC, and the North is loaded. Three teams in the East that we think are pretty good. We think we got two out West are gonna be very good, and maybe only one out of the South, but probably gonna have to get to 10 wins in order to make it into the postseason. When we come back, Holden, there's two other teams we have not broken down yet. Antonio Pierce out here in the desert. And then he's your guy now by default. Sean Payton in Denver. We'll discuss those as we break down the AFC West. And it continues here on Chart Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason, can you believe it, kicks off in less than a month. Lucky for you, the VSIN experts have been hard at work this offseason putting together our all-new NFL betting guide. Become a VSIN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to comprehensive team profiles with power ratings and win total predictions, proven betting systems, and trends like how to win with our betting splits. Plus, top picks for season win totals, futures, props, awards like MVP and Rookie of the Year. So to access this invaluable guide, you're going to need to become a VSIN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, we're offering an unbeatable deal. Get a full year of VSIN Pro for just $199 instead of the usual $240. And as a special bonus, we're going to add an extra month for free. That's 13 months of access to everything VSIN offers, including daily best bets, round-the-clock video content, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, our all-new special edition betting guides to keep you informed and winning throughout the year. Do not miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this fantastic offer. Head over to VSIN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code SHARP. Get 13 months of VSIN Pro for just $199 and gain instant access to our NFL betting guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe and use the promo code SHARP. Back alongside Holden Kushner, Dave Ross here. Before we get back into the AFC West conversation, I look up and I see the Joker. And then whenever I say the Joker, you think
Nikola Jokic, what's he doing? Is he getting ready for the Olympics?
No, it's Novak Djokovic. So Jokic is now the Joker over the original Joker that was Novak Djokovic?
Here's the Joker.
He's stolen
Joker
the moniker?
Rankings.
Okay, Joker rankings. Go ahead.
Joker rankings. Heath Ledger.
Is number one?
100% agree with you, Holden, on that.
Nikola Jokic, Novak Djokovic.
That's incorrect.
Joker ranking.
It's number one is Novak Djokovic. He's arguably the greatest tennis player of all time.
Heath Ledger, arguably the greatest acting performance of all time. Many more movies than tennis. Actually, there's been a lot of tennis players, too.
Yeah.
But no, Heath Ledger, number one, Nikola, and then Novak.
Okay, it's incorrect, but we'll let it stand. By the way, the Joker, my Joker, just eliminated Holger Rude. He gets it done in straight sets. He's now kissing his racket, and he's playing a violin with his racket on center court as we speak, blowing kisses. Hold on. Have you ever done something in your life where you just blew kisses to people? He's blowing kisses like this.
Why is this happening?
Because it's Wimbledon, baby.
Why is all this happening?
Because it's Wimbledon. He moves on now to the quarterfinals, and he's going to have Alex de Meur is who he's going to play there as Novak Djokovic making his another run at another Wimbledon title. Look, I always say this, Holden. I don't want to retire the greats. Like, I know people are like, oh, that guy's got to retire. Dude, play for as long as you can. Could you imagine they said to us, they're like, you guys got to stop. We just need you to step down. No, you go until they tell you that you can't play anymore. If you're Novak Djokovic, if you're the greatest joker of all time, you just keep going.
I mean, we're not getting that from Heath Ledger. We do have Nikola Jokic.
We got two of the three jokers left.
Joker. Yeah.
Love your jokers, by the way. Heath Ledger, he was spectacular in that role. Let's get back to the AFC West conversation. We broke down the teams that we believe are going to be the legit contenders. Obviously, it's the Chiefs, and we feel like it's the Chargers. Let's go to Denver next, to your city there, or your state at least. What do you make of Sean Payton year two? Because I kind of feel like with what Harbs is doing in L.A., quickly getting in personnel he wants, that was clear. That Russell Wilson was not Sean Payton's guy. And I'm going to get him out of here, and we're going to move on. Do you feel like he gave Russell a real chance to work? Or was it a day one thing? And he's like, I just got to put up with this for a year because I can't move him now, but I'm going to move him in the offseason.
I think he gave Russell Wilson a chance, and he learned very early that Russell Wilson did not deserve much of a chance. Ooh. So that's what I think happened with Russ here in Denver last year. Now, I am on the record with you telling you I think Bo Nix is going to start week one. I still think Bo Nix is going to start week one. The problem is there's too many question marks at offensive skill positions. You know, they're going to try and run the football a lot. People have given up on Javonte Williams. They forget how amazing Pookie was a couple of years ago before he just completely ravaged his knee. And he came back too soon last year, and he didn't look good. I'm buying in on Javonte this year. Jaleel McLaughlin's another guy. Piron, they have a good running back stable, especially if Williams takes care of business. But who are the weapons we're talking about here? Greg Dulcich, who can't stay on the field, his hamstrings just always giving him problems, cranky. Hasn't been able to stay on the field for 2 years now. Cortland Sutton, good wide receiver.
Yeah.
Not one of the best in the league. Marvin Mims, again, we're going to find out if he's a one-trick pony or not. I just don't like the skill position. I don't think you're putting Bo Nix or whoever is under center in a great spot to be a successful passer in year one. They still need to figure out center. And then you go to the defensive side of the ball, which has really been a strength of this team for a long time. As bad as they have been in many of these years since they won that Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, really, it was the denouement, the end of his career.
Yep.
Their defense has been sensational. Their secondary, like Patrick Surtain to me, is still the number one cornerback in the league. But the secondary gets taken down to mediocre because everybody else around him stinks. So too many holes for them to make a run this year. Can they win seven games? Yeah, I think they can get a 7-10 season. And I think their win total is what, 6?
5.5.
So 5.5? Yeah. Oh, even better.
You can get a 5.
Yeah, that to me, you can back into 6 wins with this roster. Sean Payton's still a really good coach. They do have some good spots. If he can coach them offensively to run the football successfully, it's going to take a lot of pressure off of Bo Nix. But it's not going to be a good team. The question is, how many wins do they get? 5, 6, or 7?
And what's incredible, it's juiced to the under in the 5.5 win total. Here's the question I have for you, Holden, because you saw it. How the hell did they win 8 last year? They won 8 games last year. I mean, that's
defense.
Okay. So, like, to me, everybody just remembers the Miami game, and they go, oh, they gave up 1,000 points. They were really good after that defensively, after that debacle down there in Miami. I'm with you. I kind of feel like this is an overplay at 5.5, especially if you're laying just $1.05 on the juice here. I'd play that over that win total because I I'm sorry, Raiders, out here in Las Vegas. I root for you because you're now my home city. But I look at Antonio Pierce, and I think it's going to be really tough first year as truly a first-year head coach. Interim guy last year. Now it's his show. I just look at this thing and I go, Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew, and apparently this is a battle right now. Like, battle for what? I mean, if this is who we're battling for the number one spot at quarterback, I don't know where you'd rank them in starters in the NFL, but they're going to be in the high 20s on my list for either guy, whoever wins said battle.
You always say this to me. You're like, you're out in Colorado, talk about the Broncos. Hey, you're out in Vegas, talk about the Raiders. Because I don't know what's worse, their quarterback situation or their secondary. They might have the worst secondary in the National Football League. And I know Max Crosby and that that pass rush can help out a little bit, but they are at the bottom of the league at quarterback, and they're going to be at the bottom of the league at the secondary. And it's Davante Adams and a bunch of guys on offense, a bad football team. And this is a team that I think could struggle to win five games.
I totally agree. This is an underplay, and their win total is sitting at 6.5. But I'm right there with you. I think this is an underplay in the Raiders. By the way, the numbers, I think, are whacked. The AFC West, okay, we mentioned the Chiefs, obviously big odds on favorites here, over, you know, over $2 betting favorite. Chargers are the second choice. Raiders are 9-1, and then the Broncos are 18-1. Not that I think that either one of the, that the Broncos could compete for the title. I wouldn't say flip those, but I think they should both be closer to the middle of like 12-1s for both teams. I look at the Broncos and the Raiders almost being on par. I don't look at the Raiders as dramatically better than Sean Payton's Broncos. And I'll tell you this, Antonio Pierce, we had him in D.C. He was there as a linebacker back in the D.C. days. When he went on to the Giants, I covered that Super Bowl for Fox back then in Arizona with our buddy Dave Feldman. You remember Feldy, of course. Antonio Pierce was our guy all week out in Arizona because of our connection in D.C. He is a guy you run through a wall for. He really is. He's that type of personality. You love the guy. And you love the rah-rah spirit. My problem is the talent. The talent's just not there. Like, Max Crosby and Antonio Pierce are going to love each other. Like, those are two kindred spirits. They see it the same way. They want to get after the quarterback. They want to beat you up physically. I just don't know if they have enough Max Crosbys and Antonio Pierces to actually get what they're trying to get. So, to me, this is a play against football team. I don't see it with Aiden O'Connell. I like Gardner Minshew as a backup. I do not like him as a, you know, 17-week starter. So to me, out here in the desert, I wish I could be more optimistic and say, oh, yeah, home team, they're going to be – no, I don't see it this year. I think the Chargers are drastically better. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. And I do think your Broncos out there in Denver are getting better. We'll find out what Bo Nix is. But Sean Payton is not going to risk his offensive genius reputation and draft that guy if he doesn't think it's going to be a success, right? He's not going to do that. I mean, he jettisoned Russell Wilson, who is a, you know, quasi Hall of Fame conversation for years, and he's just said, get out of here. I'm going to go to this kid out of Oregon. That's who he wanted. So I have to trust that Sean Payton knows more about offensive football than everybody else telling us that Bo Nix is going to be a bust. So it's almost like in Sean, I trust there. As much as I love Antonio Pierce, I don't see it happening out here in the desert. When we come back, Steve Mackinnon is going to join the program. That's next year on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Check it out. Each and every day before you make those wagers, go to VSIN.com. You can get your best bets, your betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, and they vary by state. Betting tools, betting guides, they are there for you each and every day before you make those wagers. Make your coffee, check out VSIN.com. You will be ahead of the game. Back alongside Holden Kushner, Dave Ross here at the D in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. It must be that time of year. I feel like we don't get to catch up with our guy Steve Mackinnon enough, right? Like, and I know that's normally just football season. Steve's got incredible information. If you are not a VSiN Pro subscriber, you are missing out on Steve's info. He's going to join us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Steve, great to have you back on, my friend. And I wanted to get those win totals because Holden and I were just talking about it in the last segment. You have done some numbers via DraftKings projections for their win totals, ran your numbers, and then see if you can find some value maybe in the discrepancies there. We were just talking about the Broncos. What do you see with the Broncos now? Truly, I want to say, I know it's year two, but year one now for Sean Payton getting the offense and the quarterback that he wants.
No, hi, Dave. Well, great to be with you guys. Like, it has been too long, and it stinks that I've only get to talk to you in the fall and early spring. So, but good to see you. Regarding the Broncos, does Sean Payton have the quarterback he wants? Ooh. Is that for sure? I mean, I know they're selling the fact that they got Bo Nix and they wanted him in that spot hard, but I'm not convinced. I don't know. I don't see any particular reason this team will be greatly improved this season based upon that factor.
Now, your win total, though, does project higher than the 5.5. Is that just the market being maybe just a little bit too low in the Broncos for a team that did win somehow, as we were talking about in the last segment, 8 games a year ago with Russell Wilson at the helm for the majority of them?
Okay, now the way I run this projected wins thing in the guide, I run the schedule against my power ratings. So I may be slightly higher. I'm not high at all on the Broncos. Let me, I got a 20 power rating. That's not high at all. Their schedule ranking is actually 2nd in the league.
Ooh.
So I may be a little more optimistic power rating wise than the market is at this point. And if you combine that with the fact that they are the 2nd toughest schedule in the NFL, might be tough to get to that win total.
The biggest difference that I see, Steve, is the Patriots. So 4.5 is the win total. You got them at 6. It's just, and this is nothing to do with actual numbers, but I look at teams can just back into 5 wins. So bad teams. Look at the worst teams. We got 17 games played now, and some of these teams are playing out the rest of the season. What about the Patriots? Why is it a 1.5 win difference? That's humongous, Steve.
Okay, I agree with your thoughts there on why they might improve just for the sake of it. I mean, sometimes that just happens. I mean, you look at this Patriots team this year, and I don't know if there's a team in the league getting a more fresh breath of air, if you will. I mean, the last few years with the Brady's out, Belichick is in, there's been a lot of who did what for that team franchise. I think that kind of weighed this down a little bit. Mac Jones was clearly not the answer. This team scored 13.9 points per game last season. It's almost impossible to get any worse than that. I would think they will be a little bit better offensively, particularly if Drake May is given a chance here. I have an interesting system regarding the Patriots and the Washington Commanders as to why they could improve this year, and it's because they were so bad last year. Teams that won 5 games or less in the season, none by double-digit margins, have shown significant improvement in the follow-up campaign. 50 of the last 52 teams have improved.
Wow.
Their win-loss record. So that's a pretty significant number. They're 50 out of 52. And the average wins they've improved by is about 3.9. So just based upon they were almost bottom of the barrel, there's a better chance they're improved this season.
I got to tell you that maybe the wildest sweat I had last year in the season win totals, I played Arizona under 4.5. And it felt like, oh, man, this is a lock. I got this thing all the way. And then they go to Philadelphia, if you remember, late in the year last year and beat the Eagles on the road. And then that last game against Seattle was kind of knocked out of the playoff picture. And it took like a missed kick by Arizona. And then Seattle kicks a field goal at the buzzer to beat Arizona for that total to stay under. Point is, Steve, Arizona got really kind of frisky at the end of the year last year with Kyler Murray and Gannon in year one. I think was maybe even a pleasant surprise for a team that only won 4 games. What do you see this year with the Cardinals? Because I know maybe you have them projected a little bit higher than what everybody else does.
Again, a team potentially with some grit. You know, I mean, you have a situation now where you flush out some key spots in the roster. Maybe they started feeling a little better about themselves at the end of the last season. That could mean a lot in an off season as you prepare to go into a campaign with obviously an improved roster, particularly a wide receiver, very high on Marvin Harrison. You get Kyler Murray, maybe a full season out of him, and you just don't know. I mean, you look at strengths of schedule, and a lot of people like to bark at this type of subject and at this time of year. But by midseason, the end of the season schedule may look totally different to a team. So very difficult to really project a team to be really bad or really good.
So then we have the Steelers, and these are just numbers-based projections. You got them going under 8.5, you got a 7.6 projection. Yeah, 7.6 projection. Then you've got the narrative on that side. Tomlin's never been under 500. Does that matter at all if you're placing a bet on the Steelers going under, or is it just strictly numbers?
You know, obviously it has to matter. It's in some form. Now, the thing with the Steelers is the last 2 to 3 seasons, they've been winning just by means I don't tend to like as a stat guy, as a data analyst. with defense and forcing turnovers, but not scoring many points. Now, when does that come back to bite them? Is Russell Wilson going to get them to a higher offensive stature this year? If not, maybe this is the year this team finally slips.
Steve, I hate to bring it to America's attention, but you have America's team maybe going under their projected win total. This one hurt me, Steve, when I saw it, but your numbers don't lie here. I'm kind of with you. I think it could be a longer year for the Cowboys this year. Questions of the offense. Why did your numbers point to the Cowboys maybe taking a step down this year?
Yeah, to me, the biggest change here, the biggest loss on this team is going to be their defense coordinator and Dan Quinn obviously leaving, and then him taking his new coordinator with him. These guys were responsible for the turnovers this team produced. They scored a lot of defensive points, had a lot of benefit from turnovers. They're probably still be able to produce some pressure on quarterbacks, but if they don't get those turnovers and they don't score on those turnovers as much as they did, it's very hard to see them keeping up with this 12-win type of season.
All right, so the last team for me to talk to you about is the Ravens. To me, still the team to beat in the division. Burrow's coming back. I get it, but you've got them going under the 11.5. They could still win 11 games and be a terrific football team. Is there anything in particular that the numbers told you why they wouldn't really just run the table like they did last year in the regular season and win more than 12 games?
I don't know. Not really anything completely specific. I mean, they lose a running back. That's going to be key. That produced a lot of points for them, if you will. But sometimes you just got to return to a point where if you were at a 30, maybe on my scale, a 32 to 33 power rating at the end of the season, but then lose to a team that maybe you probably should have won in the championship game. You have to come down a little bit from that. So just a return to normalcy a little bit, and hard to win 12 games in this league, let's be honest.
Yeah, and Lamar, until last year, had not completed seasons. We'd always see these great starts, and Lamar always seemed to get hurt. He didn't get hurt last year, and he won his second MVP. A team that Holden and I talked about earlier, and I see that you concur with where we are, and that is the Chargers year one with Jim Harbaugh. What do you see with that? I know we don't like to normally lay these juicy numbers here for an over-win total of 8.5, but does this feel like a team that potentially could win double digits, Steve, in year one for Harbs?
Yeah, so this is one of the teams I actually wrote up as one of my season win total wagers for the season, going over the 8.5 wins. Now, there's a lot of reason to think there could be some improvement. Harbaugh's very maligned in the media and amongst fans and such, but he's going to be an improvement upon Staley. People got to remember how frustrated people were with Staley over the last few years. So they've made some changes that I believe on the field that are going to help them. They've gotten rid of a lot of their aging veteran offensive stars, if you will, and replace them with some youth, and maybe going to go to more of a running game, physical mindset, take some of that pressure off to Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. This is also a team that's very talented defensively. Over the last 8 games, you take away that Raiders 63-point outburst, that defense only allowed 17 points per game. So it wasn't like they were crumbling completely down in the second half like Philadelphia was defensively. So a lot of reasons to think the Chargers could be better.
Love it, Steve. And whenever we talk, that means football season is almost upon us. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks for hopping on the Progressive Guest Line with us today.
Thank you, guys.
When we come back, much more to get to, including some Major League Baseball talk. That's next here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL Betting Guide. The guide is packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, which includes in-depth previews of all 32 teams, win total projections for every single team. You got a new quarterback and a head coach. We'll break those down. Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best future bets from the VSiN experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year awards. Whether you're a season better or just getting started, our NFL Betting Guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Visit VSiN.com/guide. Get your copy of our all-new NFL Betting Guide today. That's VSIN.com/guide. Back alongside Holden Kushner, Dave Ross here. There's one game going on right now in Major League Baseball. It resides in the nation's capital, a place Holden and I used to call home. We've been in at the stadium a lot throughout our time. 1-0 St. Louis with a lead in the bottom of the third. And Holden, I'll just say this. Good seats still available. What has happened to our national pastime in the nation's capital?
You know, that's an event city, man. If you're not good, people aren't going to show up. I think Davey Martinez has done a great job
keeping
this team around 500 at this point.
Yep.
Got to be in the mix for manager of the year, but that's how it is in most cities. There's very few cities where people are going to show up with a bad baseball team. I don't even know if the Yankees would have monster crowds if they had a bad team. Boston is one place. They always show up.
Yep.
Cubs, they always show up. You know, it's something to do.
Yeah.
There are some great baseball towns out there, but for the most part, baseball is big when the teams are good. I mean, it really is the ultimate fair weather sport. Team is good. Look, Pittsburgh, great baseball town when they're good. Baltimore, great baseball town when they're good. They really are great baseball towns when they're good, but when they're not good, nobody shows up. Washington, same thing.
I think we could get in for about $5 and go right down. Maybe we might even be able to play in the sixth inning if we went today.
How's it going to go in Vegas when they're there?
Like, oh, great question.
Is it going to be a show then, even if the A's are horrible?
Well, the A's are going to be horrible, especially when they first get here, right? I will go. I will go. You're right. It'll be a novelty. We'll go. Like, you go to the Sphere, you go to other places in Vegas. We're going to go watch the A's, the bad Las Vegas A's. We're going to watch them play. And then after a while, we're going to go, did that a couple times. Not going to go back down. By the way, live number here, Nats are plus $1.60. Cardinals get a late 210. Adjusted run total now is down to 6.5 for that total with only one run. We are through the third, going T4 in the nation's capital. Again, if you're out there in D.C., just go to the stadium, man. They'll let you in. Nobody else is there. I think they'll let you in. Let's get back to some NFL conversation here, Holden. And look, MVPs, I get it. We normally don't want to play the short numbers on the board. The shortest number on the board this year is some guy named Patrick Mahomes. Heard of that guy? Apparently, he's pretty good. Plus 450 to win the award. The second guy for MVP, Josh Allen. And this is a lightning rod of a conversation. Now, there is a dip in the marketplace. It goes from Mahomes at plus 450. You get $4 more for Josh Allen at plus 850. Now, look, we're going to go down the board, and there's many other opportunities for longer shots. But if you just started right there with the top two, okay? And CJ Stroud, by the way, is right there with Josh Allen. Joe Burrow's not that far behind at 9-1. If you just went Allen Mahomes in this conversation at those numbers, there is only one bet for me to make, and that's Josh Allen. I think there's fatigue with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs winning back-to-back Super Bowls. I know he didn't win the MVP last year. Lamar Jackson won it. He won the year before. Josh Allen has lost the great Stephon Diggs, Terp. He gone. He's down there in H-Town with C.J. Stroud. So they're going to say, well, he doesn't have any weapons. If Josh Allen, narrative street, right? We got to walk down narrative street with these things, for these awards. If Josh Allen can Heisman Trophy stiff arm the Jets and Aaron and Tua Tagovailoa and the Cheetah, and they win the division again when they're now maybe not as expected as it normally was, they can act, their bar has been lowered. And since the bar has been low, the bar for Mahomes is ultra high, super high. That's why he didn't win the MVP last year, because he went through that lull in the season at the end of the year we talked about. To me, this would be a one-way ticket on Josh Allen at plus 850 because the expectations, maybe not for me and you, but for Gen Pop, they've changed and they've lowered. I actually like Allen this year without Stephon Diggs. Don't tell me for 1 second, Mr. Kushner, that there wasn't a conversation. And they said, what do you think about Steph Diggs? And he went, we're okay. Like, that conversation had to have to. I know he'll never admit that. He'll never say that publicly. There's no way you let your number one guy lose his number one guy if he wanted that guy there. You agree?
Yeah, I'm with you there. And I think it was overblown, the relationship between the two, but yeah, that's a team more than anything just had a lot of cap issues. Mm. So now Josh Allen, who kind of regressed during last season, was not as again, I would have to dig into this, but off the top of my head from last year, was throwing more interceptions as the year went on, turning the ball over as the year went on. The options are not as as tasty as some other quarterbacks out there. Oh. So I'm not going to go with Josh Allen. I love Josh Allen. Root for him because everybody hated him coming out of college.
Yeah.
I think at that same price, CJ Stroud is a better pick. Look at the weapons. Look at the accuracy. Just came in the league, took the league by storm. And I only expect him to get better. That's one guy that I would put ahead of him. I know Burrow at 9-1 is another one. And if you're betting the MVP, don't bet just one guy. Mm. Not when you're getting 8.5-1. Like if you bet Mahomes, okay, bet two guys instead of maybe three. But if you're betting an 8-1, a 9-1, a 14-1, I want you to go all the way down to 30-1.
Oh,
who's at 30-1?
Well, you got Jared Goff. You got
now
Anthony Richardson. You've got okay. Matty Stafford and Trevor Lawrence, who just got the bag in Jacksonville.
The first guy you said was Jared Goff.
Yeah. Now,
I'm going to give myself a plug. Nuke the house. Ooh. In our Discord right now, I had a conversation exactly about this last week. And it was, hey, I prefer Burrow. I prefer Purdy. I prefer CJ Stroud to some of these other guys like Jalen Hurts. And I just go down here and my guy Josh brought it up. He goes, I think that Jared Goff is a legitimate MVP candidate. And I said, what are you talking about, man? He goes, second in the NFL in passing yards. Mm. Okay. Plus the Lions, if the Lions end up with the best record in the NFC, that's your starting quarterback. Fourth in passing touchdowns, Jared Goff. Third in passing yards per game, Jared Goff. Fifth in completion percentage, Jared Goff. Fifth in passer rating by Pro Football Focus. Whoa, hold on a second here. Are you kidding me? Because I didn't even look at 30-1. You're telling me Jared Goff at 30-1, second in passing yards, fourth in touchdowns, third in passing yards per game, and fifth in completion percentage, who could get better with another year in this offense? All right, there's my long shot at 30-1. Give me CJ Stroud, give me Joe Burrow, and give me Jared Goff. And those are the three I'm going to sprinkle money on.
I don't, by the way, I completely agree with what you guys are having the discourse on for Nuke the House. I think Jared Goff should be in that conversation. Here's the problem for me is that the narrative has been written. Because remember, these are narrative driven awards. We got to get in the heads of other people that might not think like us. The narrative is, I used to be part of that narrative. I used to say he was Sean McVay's arm surrogate in LA. I didn't give him a whole lot of credit for what he did, right? And then I thought he kind of reinvented himself in Detroit. I think he's actually gotten better, to your point, and the numbers would bear that out from last year. But he had a great year last year, and I don't even feel like he was ever in the conversation for MVP, right? It was all Brock Purdy and Lamar Jackson. And I'm like, they don't even look Jared Goff's way. It's almost like we've just forgotten that Jared Goff exists because Sean McVay so unceremoniously dumped him from LA. I mean, I kind of thought McVay, and I know McVay didn't mean it, but I thought he did him dirty. Like, we had to make a move because we didn't feel like we could win the Super Bowl with that guy. Like, that's kind of rough. And then you go and you actually do what you say. You win the Super Bowl with Matty Stafford. So he was right. But I felt like that really put this albatross on Jared Goff that you're just not worthy. Like, you're just not the guy. And I think Dan Campbell has embraced him. He's embraced that offense. I think Detroit's embraced him. He's a perfect fit for the Lions. Now, I will say a guy that I've come around to on a little bit is Brock Purdy at 14-1. And the reason why I look at Brock is I thought last year, year two, coming up that UCL injury he had against the Eagles as a rookie, that he was going to regress. Well, he didn't regress. He got better. He got better in year two. So I was waiting for this regression that never came. So I'm not going to keep expecting regression from Brock Purdy just because he was an Iowa State guy. He was Mr. Irrelevant. And we didn't have him, we being the national media in that discourse, have him in those conversations as a guy that should be a first-round pick. So at some point, we have to stop putting aside the biases of where somebody was drafted, look at the actual body of work. He does all this stuff after a touchdown. Like, Brock Purdy's got some J.U. Ice about him. I kind of like the kid. He's got a little fire, a little spunk.
I like it, but he's not the most valuable player on his offense. It's CMC. So I can't do it.
You just destroyed my whole narrative in 10 seconds.
Correct.
I was going to say Trent Williams.
More 8 seconds.
More football talk, top of the hour here on VC.